Jason Huntsville on Space to Ground 2 for Mike and LSG.
Good morning. What good news do you have for us?
Mike, we've got some great news. So whenever you're ready, you're go to perform your LSG activities.
Thanks, John. Really appreciate it. And, yeah, good morning, everybody. It's a little bit early. Thanks for coming in. Looking forward to having a fun day.
Hey, it's our pleasure. No place I would rather be, Mike. And great to be working with you guys today. And Station Huntsville on 2 for Xena. We see you floating in the lab. You can give us a call back for those big picture words at your convenience.
We're on 2, Huntsville.
Okay, Xena. I got some words from the PD about the differences between the older version of 2.001 and the one you're going to run today. So most importantly, we have clarified the heater controller steps from steps 4.3 to 4.8. That includes updating figure 7. If you'll note that there is going to be a red dot expected next to the temperature on the display unit, and that's going to indicate that the heater power is engaged. In addition to that, we've added some extra steps to reposition the camera so that we can monitor the display readout throughout the day's activities.
That is really helpful context. I'll take a look at figure 7. I'll definitely be looking for that red dot, and we may need to think about a different orientation for the controller if we want a camera view of it. I'll take a look at the procedure steps, but I remember last time it was pretty much sticking my face in between the rack front and the controller, so it'll be tough to get a camera in there, but we'll figure out a great config. Thank you so much for the updates.
And we copy, no problem. And for step 3.18, that's the one where we're actually having you reposition the lab camcorder, if that gives you any more context.
Take a look. Thank you so much.
And Huntsville Station on 2, the life science glove box work volume is deployed. Moving on to the glove sleeve swap,
Mike, Huntsville copies. LSG is deployed. Thanks for the heads up.
Huntsville Station 2, for Mikado.
We're with you on 2.
Hey, I'm getting ready to install the heater controller, and taking a look, it looks like the same orientation as last time. It just won't be physically possible to get a camcorder looking at the display as it's installed in figure 1. Wondering if you would be okay with either me flipping it 180 degrees so that the display face is facing towards the deck. I might be able to get you a good view there, although I think there will be enough parallax with the camera that even that will be tough. Or wondering if I could set it up on a little desk and pitch it 90 degrees so that the display is facing out into the cabin and the cables are going into the rack. Would that be okay?
Checking.
And if that's not okay, I'll try to set up a mirror or something so that you can see in there, but there's just physically not enough space for a camcorder.
And Xena, we like the ideas that you proposed. Whatever you think will work the best, we're willing to take your suggestion, just with the added caveat that you ensure you're not impeding any of the airflow.
That I can do. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for the great suggestions.
Sensation on Space to Ground 2 for Timeline.
Houston's with you on 2, Mike.
Yeah, good morning. Great to hear your voice up here. We are looking ahead, and it looks like it may be possible, but you, of course, own the timeline, to do the IFM robot removal task. I think I can do that ahead of time without interfering with the sequence. What do you think?
And Mike, we agree. You can do that at your leisure.
Rebecca, I would love to have leisure up here. That way I could wear a leisure suit. But Xena says no.
We would love to see that down here.
Great. All that aside, I'm going to start the robot activity now for procedures. Thank you so much.
So Station 2, for Mikado.
Go ahead on 2, Xena.
Hey, I'm in step 3.17. Hardware is fully mated. I've got a camera view up for you. I think we should be in a good config.
Yeah, Xena, regrettably we lost KU, but we saw your view right before it went out, and we do like it, so we're going for you to press.
Okay, copy. From Station 2 for Mikado.
With you on 2.
Powered on the inverter and did the test reset tests on the GFCI. The green LED is on on, but kind of flickering. It looks like the heater controller unit itself is powered on just fine. It's showing a temperature output of 26 degrees at the moment, or I guess that's just ambient temperature. Are we in an okay config, or should I try a different GFCI?
Zena, can we verify the serial number on that GFCI, please?
Serial number is 1015, and I've definitely seen this before on other GFCIs, but just want to make sure.
We're checking, Zena, but it sounds like that GFCI is labeled suspect. Give us just a second, and for your awareness, we're about a minute and a half out from losing our connection here. We're going to go LOS.
Okay, copy. Before I lose you, same inverter, serial number 1034, right next door is on switch 1, GFCI 1108. We could try that one.
And Zena, you read our minds. We're about to call that up. You're go to give that GFCI a shot.
Copy, we'll go. Control station 2, step 4, decimal 5, 10, offset 20.
And we kind of copy, Zena. You're getting a little choppy there. Did you say 200?
The initial temperature when I double-pressed was 10. Then in step 4, decimal 6, I will set 200.
And we copy. That sounds good to us.
Control station 2, step 4, decimal 9, time 8:45, current temperature reading.
And Zena Huntsville's with you on 2. Apologies, we lost S-band there for a second. We heard time on at 8:45 and lost you right after current temperature.
Good readback. Temperature was 52, it is now 138. It's increasing. I'm monitoring.
And copy. That sounds great to us. And while I have you, I know you've got a couple more steps left to clean up this activity, but I just wanted to let you know with your upcoming flexible 940 snow cone activity, it has a check POIC for a 30-minute touch temp. You're go for that. So just if we lose you in that LOS at the start of that activity, you already have the go from us.
Happy go for snow cone. Thank you so much.
And Zena, we see good views, and we see the dot indicating the heater power is engaged. Thanks.
It is.
Shen Houston on 2 for PWD, XPWD.
Yes, go ahead on 2, please.
We are about 10 minutes out from the PWD and XPWD becoming unavailable for Oleg's Yetive fill, and wanted to give you guys a heads up to fill up any drink bags that you might need.
Thank you for the heads up. We will pull the room, so to speak, and give you a call when we're ready. The 10-minute timeline. Sensation on 2 for potable water dispenser.
Yes, I'm with you on 2.
That's for PWD and X for extra PWD. We are good to go. Thank you very much.
Houston, copy.
I think I've been corrected. X stands for exploration PWD, sorry. But it is extra.
It can be two things.
Well, I have you. I'm looking at the LSR, which is going to be moved later today. And a couple quick questions for you. I'm ahead of the timeline, but that's why I'm mentioning it, so we have time to talk about it on anything. On the front of the rack, we have a wastewater port heat water inlet, and they are uncapped, but the caps are right nearby. I'm thinking we probably want to put the caps on. I didn't quite see it in the procedure, but then again, I didn't read the procedure from end to end yet, so just wanted to give you a heads up that we think it's probably a good idea to put those two caps on. If you want, we can also put a camera on it if you guys want to see the front of the LSR.
And Mike, back with you on 2. Yes, we will take the caps on those ports that you mentioned, and Chris does have an activity to set up a camera in that area in about an hour, but you are welcome to perform that activity now.
Yeah, fantastic. Also, I have a big picture question for you. Looking at the LSR procedure that's on my timeline, it says take all the stowage out of the LSR and temporarily stow it. There are quite a few half and 1.0 CTVs that are visible, and there's probably a few more stashed inside. I was wondering on the big picture, are we going to take those out and then put those back in once the ZSR, zero-G stowage rack, is installed in that place? If not, then it just, yeah, that's the question. Thank you.
And the answer to your question is yes. We'll put them right back in.
Okay. I will temporarily stow those bags and make a note of where we stowed them so that we can put them back in the ZSR as appropriate. Thanks for the heads up.
Station 2 for IFM Ratgather.
With you, N2.
Checking out the labeled straps in HTDX, the letters don't exactly match A, B, F, and E as called out in the stowage note, but there are several straps that have been labeled, I believe, by Kimiya-san as long strap and four rack. I'm assuming it's going to make sense once we get in there which straps to use. We've got plenty of straps, just maybe not exactly A, B, F, and E labeled.
And Zena, great question. The straps labeled four rack and long strap are the ones that we need, and there may be some discrepancy in the letters.
Okay, great. As long as that's not a problem, then we're in a good shape.
Houston, station on 2 for the UTS removal.
Houston's with you on 2, Chris.
Hey, I was hoping to get an early start on the UTS removal and just wanted to check with you if that's okay to get started and to verify that safing is in place in step 1.1.
All right, Chris, safing is in place in step 1.1. You are good to pick up in 1.2.
Copy all. I'll get started in 1.2. Thanks.
The station space to ground 2 for FGB dust filter trash.
Systems with you on 2.
Over the weekend, St. Nicholas came by and gave us some FGB used dust filters. I think it was on the Russian side to deliver to the USOS, and it was accomplished. We don't know what to do with them. We looked for any kind of stowage note. We're pretty sure they get trashed, but we wanted to coordinate with you before we did anything.
And, Mike, ISO is not here yet, so once they are in, we'll get that question answered for you and let you all know.
Okay. It was in our translation pass. We will temporarily stow it out of the way, and just to help our ISO friends when they do arrive on this beautiful Monday morning, I'll give you one of the barcodes, but we all know the part number and the rest, but it's called FGB filter MEP-1F. That's the transliteration, but more importantly, barcode, if you're ready.
I am ready.
0008-1333-R. So that's 3 zeros and 8, a 1, 3 threes, and an R.
You got it. Thanks, Mike.
Sensation on space to ground 2 for OSO and life support back. Quick question.
Houston's with you.
I think you can see we have the rack front pretty much cleared out, the stowage removed. The quick question is, there is a panel not installed. That's the one we use for stowage. And I'm assuming we do not need to have that panel installed for the transfer, translation, and installation into HTVX.
And, Mike, the panel will remain off.
For duper. Thank you.
Houston, station on 2 for the UTS removal.
Houston's with you on 2, Chris.
Yeah, I am in step 3.5 of 6.2.9054, and it looks like the topology of the cables is such that we're going to need to demate the TOCA power table in order to rotate TOCA for temp stow. So I was looking for your go in 3.5.1.2.
And Chris, stand by one while we check on that.
Copy, standing by.
And Houston, just to pile on, since you're checking things and we have a funny comm system, the topology of the timeline says that I think Kimiya-san and I are ready to translate the ZSR, zero-G stowage rack, from HTV and temporarily stow it into node 1 with your go.
And we are go.
Okay, thank you.
Station Houston on 2 for Chris.
On 2.
And Chris, you are go to perform step 3.5.1, and your go in 3.5.1.2 to unpower Toka.
Copy that. I am go in 3.5.1.2 to power down that UOP.
Good cap.
And Houston, station on to question for the ETS removal 3.5.1.2.
Houston, to see you on 2, Chris.
Just wanted to double-check the procedure here. So in 3.5.1.2, I pressed the power out button on UOP 2 so that the button is no longer depressed, and reset is illuminated. It then says to check that OK is illuminated and enable is illuminated, which I think is the state for UOP being powered on. I just wanted to make sure the UOP should be powered off and I should disconnect TOCA. Is that correct?
And Chris, you have the correct understanding of what the configuration should be. The UOP to be off OFF so that you can unplug the TOCA power cable. We'll look into the procedure and why it's incorrect.
Okay, copy. And then just to confirm, you want me to leave that UOP off OFF for the duration?
That's affirm.
Copy. Sounds good.
Houston Station, Space Ground 2 for water transfer.
Houston's with you, N2, Alex.
Good morning. UDWA with serial number 1480-1480 is ready for water transfer, and UDWA is empty. And I have completed step number 2 and step 3.1.
All right, copy. That is a good number for the Yedave. For step 3.2, your estimated offload time is 26 minutes, and you are go in step 3.3.
Copy, 26 minutes.
Huntsville Station 2 for Astrophy.
Huntsville's with you on 2.
And so I am trying to find in the JLP that 1.0-1004 spheres slosh. Any possible alternate locations? I did not find it in JLP port 1 Delta.
Copy. Looking for 1.0004 off the JLP. We're checking. Nonsel's back with you on 2, Zena.
Down 2.
Just a small problem. The only location we're tracking that CTB has ever lived in is that JLP 1 location. We're tracking the last time it was touched was on GNT 335, so about 2 weeks ago, and Kimia had hands on it, wondering if maybe he has any insights into where that CTP went.
I'll check with him. Thank you.
No problem.
Huntsville Station 2 for us.
With you on 2.
Hey, Kimia and I are looking for that CTP. Could you say again the GMT date that was the last time the CTP was used?
Yeah, that was GMT 335 during his Astrobe battery charge activity.
Copy, checking. Huntsville Station 2 for Astrobe.
We're with you on 2.
So we're going to get the barcode reader and hunt for that CTB. In the meantime, should I pause on the procedure or keep going until we need those SD cards?
Checking. And Zena, Huntsville's back with you. Since you guys need that CTB to have the SD cards, you can work up to step 2 if you'd like. Just don't open that avionics panel until we have the SD cards in hand. Don't want you guys to float away from there with that panel open.
Maybe that makes sense.
And I do have one potential data point. During that battery exchange activity, Kimia took that particular CTB over to Node 3 F Deck 4. Potentially could find the CTB there. Just a shot in the dark.
Okay, we'll take a look there. Kimia does remember stowing it, but thinks maybe he called out a different location just on space to ground. We'll take a look with the barcode reader, and I'll check Node 3.
Copy all.
Huntsville Station 2 for Astrobeat.
Huntsville's with you on 2. We saw a CTB. Is there good news?
Good news. Got the CTB, and we're going to carry on with the procedure.
That's wonderful. Can I ask where you guys ended up finding it?
It wasn't a JLP. It was kind of towards JLP aft 2, behind a curtain.
Copy. Do you guys like that location over there better than port 1, where we had it in the stone-out?
I think the stone-out location will be great. My guess is it maybe just was temp stowed under a bungee or something and moved. Who knows? Anyway, we've got it now, and we will put it back where the stone-out called out.
Okay, perfect. Just trying to remain flexible for you guys, but sounds good.
Really appreciate that. Thank you so much. On that note, Huntsville, how's the field of view?
And the field of view is great, Vina. Thanks. Happy thumbs up.
So station for Spaceground 2 for HTVX cargo ops.
Houston's with you on 2, Kimia.
I'm on step 120. And this item, the final location, node 1 overhead for Charlie underscore Charlie 1. That location, we already have 3 half CTB and 4. So I need an alternate location. I just look into adjacent location. Delta 1, Echo 1, we have like a half CTB amount of like a free space. So if you have any alternation location, I can take it. And also, yeah, as I mentioned, adjacent location might be a good candidate.
And Kimia, we don't have ISO here yet, but we're good with you moving that bag into the alternate location, the adjacent locations you mentioned, Delta 1, Echo 1. And if we need to redo it, we'll let you know later.
Yeah, I understand. Thank you very much. So I'm going to write the note and put it in overhead to 4 Echo, Delta 1, Echo 1. Thank you.
Location 2 for Astro P, step 1.10.
Here you go.
Here you go, and power is definitely off.
And on spoke up.
So station on space ground 2 for cargo ops.
See you on 2.
Hey, I disregard the previous report. I just look into it, that location, original location, and reorganize that CTB. So it actually went to the final location, overhead 4 underscore Charlie 1. But that location is 110% full, and the lead is a little bit parched, but anyway, it goes to the location anyway. So thank you very much for your support.
Thank you, Kimia. We copy. That bag is at overhead 4 Charlie 1, and it is very, very full.
Thank you.
Station 2 for Astrobee.
Go ahead, Lena.
Neither of the cards themselves are labeled with a serial number, but I've got the old one removed and in a Ziploc bag labeled Doc Memory Card Serial Number 021 and 022. There is a static shielding bag labeled 022 with an SD card in it. So I'm going to just assume that these are the correct ones.
Yep, that's the correct one. There's only 2 on board, so you can't get it wrong, I guess.
Don't make that a challenge, but copy.
Houston Station on 2.
Houston's with you on 2.
Water transferring has completed, and I'm ready to go to step 6.1.
And Oleg, you're go in step 6.1.
Okay. Houston Station on 2.
Houston's with you on 2.
Houston bypass 1, back to refrigeration station, and transfer hose is disconnected from PWD, and I have completed step number 6 and 7.1. Thank you for water.
And thank you, Oleg, for that call, and you're welcome for the water.
Nice day.
Houston on 2, no response required, just giving you all a heads up that PWD and ex-PWD are available for use again.
Just in time for lunch. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Install station 2, step 3.7, new SD card installed.
Copy. You got it installed. Feel like I jinxed you there. It looked like getting that SD was not an easy thing to install there.
It's a tricky little site. There's not good access with your fingers, and turns out, since it's a blind reach, it's actually very possible to send the SD card flying in between the boards instead of into the SD slot. Luckily, I did out, and I've got it installed.
Well, thanks. We appreciate your hard work, and we were all commenting on your cat light reflexes there. Saw something fly up, and you snatched it real quick. For your next 2 on PYC GOES, 4.1 and 5.2, I can go ahead and let you know we're ready for those, so you can press.
Okay, copy. We are going 4.1 and 5.2, and sorry, I had to see all of that. Glad we got it.
Houston, station on 2 for stowage.
Houston's with you on 2, Chris.
Yeah, I'm working the HTVX cargo ops step 125.02 which has me take some towels and put them into towel warehouse number 3. Unfortunately, that warehouse is too full to fit all of them. I'm wondering if you mind if I take 2 of those towel Ziploc bags and put them in our just active towel pantry.
And Chris, no issues with that plan.
Awesome. Thank you.
Decimal station 2, step 5.4, docking station activation complete.
Copy. Activation complete, 11:27.
Affirm. And hey, just 2 notes for the procedure. For that circuit breaker, up on the switch is closed. However, the indicator is red, not green, when it is closed.
Okay, we copy. Good data point. Thank you.
Welcome. And also, if you have a side view of the card reader slot, I think that would be super helpful for future users.
Copy. Side view for procedure reference. Would you recommend a specific like depth to the angle there, or how could we best portray that?
Just if you look at figure 7, if you have a side view basically looking into the slot into which you should be inserting the SD card, I think that would be really helpful. That processor board is mounted on top of the larger green board, and there's some void space in between those 2 green boards, and it is, since it's a blind reach, it's just really easy to stick the SD card into an empty void rather than the slot.
Okay, copy. Yeah, that's good insight. I can see what you're saying now looking at figure 7. So you are between those 2 green boards sliding the SD card in laterally.
Exactly, and indeed it can disappear into that void for a little bit.
And we copy all. That's great feedback. We'll be sure to try to get something from the ground unit so that that doesn't happen again.
Yeah, you bet. And mirror was really helpful, but I think if you just have a side view picture, that would be the most helpful at all.
Sounds good. We'll work with the PD.
Well, station 2 for Astrobee.
If you want to.
Hey, so sorry. Can you help me remember which B was in the left versus the right slot?
Blue and Bumble on the left, and Honey Gold on the right.
Honey on the right. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Till station 2, Mikado's power off time, 12:25.
12:25, until copies. Thanks, Dana.
So the station on Space to Ground 2 for LSR rack transfer.
Distance with you on 2.
I'm hoping you're watching because this is it's been really fun. The 4 of us did a super, well, they did a great job. We got the rack in place in the HDDX. No hatch seals or equipment was harmed or even touched in the creation of that translation. So that's the first thing. How copy so far?
We copy all. Excellent news. We unfortunately lost you as you got through the lab, but it sounds like it was a lot of work.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. The node 2 camera is on. I don't know if we have KU or not. And then you could join us with the node 2 camera for sure. And then also I would like to talk about steps 3.6 and 3.7. That's node 2 camera 2, by the way.
And we're getting that camera pulled up. Go ahead with your question.
Okay. I think Zenith called it down earlier, we use slightly different straps on step 3.6. Standby, we used H and I as well as D and E, so Delta Echo, Hotel and India, and now we're working on the daisy chain on step 3.7.
All right, here's the copies.
Okay, so that part is good. The daisy chain with 8-inch cable ties is... we won't have enough ties when we do this the same thing tomorrow, and I think we have stouter and cable ties on board, and we were wondering if it would be better to use the bigger, thicker green ones that we have and not the thinner, smaller red ones. But we understand the concept for the daisy chain and to keep the straps connected to each other so that they don't slip off the edge of the racks.
And Mike, we will look into whether the green ones can be used tomorrow. If you guys have enough of the red ones for today, please go ahead and use those for today.
Okay, fair enough. That's in work. And, of course, at the end, we'll take lots of photos. And Node 2 Camera 2 is zoomed in and should give you a better view.
And we have that up now.
And, Houston, while I have a few seconds, while my crewmates are doing a fantastic job daisy chaining cable ties, do you have any questions for us, or is there anything that you would like to see outside of what the procedure asks for?
I think our only question is, how many times did y'all say pivot as you were working your way through station?
Was that just saying pivot, or pivot with a snicker? Because, yes, that was very funny. Kimiya-san needs to watch the episode.
Sounds like some dinner viewing tonight.
And compliments and thanks for letting us try it in Node 3 without having to move the stall center section. That worked out. It was close, but we were able to do it because we were saying did it. So station 2 for RAC securing in HTVX.
We're here.
So, yes, we are short on the red straps. We thought we had enough to get us through this rack, but it's not. So Xena's going off to get some green ones. We will let you know what size and how many we've used to secure the rack.
And Mike, sorry for the delay. We copy the plan. We're still talking about the green straps, but don't think there will be any issue with that plan.
Okay, yeah, it's only going to be a couple of them. We were just short the red straps. It is a very nice daisy chain, and it will serve the purpose. We just need, looks like maybe two green straps to make it work for today.
And we're done talking, and we're good with your strip green daisies.
Okay, Houston, good news. We needed one green 14-inch zip tie to complete the daisy chain for today. We have quite a few 14-inch zip ties available for tomorrow. Those are the 14-inch green ones. They're also a little bit wider. We would like to highly suggest using those for tomorrow, but we have a day to think about it.
Houston copies, thanks.
And you'll have the photos downlinked in a little while, and that should help with the discussions and the decisions. So thank you. Houston station on 2 for RAC relocate.
Houston's with you on 2. Go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon our time, good morning your time, and just wanted to let you know that the pictures from this morning's activity are available for downlink on SSC number 9.
Copy, SSC 9. Thanks, Mike. And Mike Houston on 2, while I have you, for an answer about the FGB dust filters.
Yes, what can we do with them? And thanks.
You can trash them in hardware JSB 5580.
5580, copy. We'll get right to it. Thank you.
Good copy, thanks.
This position on Syscon 2 for Aerith.
Kimmy with you on 2, go ahead.
It's okay for you guys. I'd like to start next activity from now, a little bit early.
Copy that. We are ready to support. Go ahead.
I will just start. You need to see like a video camera view, or it's just okay for me to just do it?
Thanks for asking. No camera views are required.
Okay, thank you. Well, I'm going to start this activity for now. Thank you. Position on Syscon 2 for Aerith.
Syscon 2, give me a go ahead.
Do you have a camera view in Node 3? If you have, I have actually a question on configuration on step 1.5. It is correct or not?
Yes, we do have a camera. It is right behind Xena's head right now, a little bit out in front of the WHC, pointed towards T2.
Okay, thank you. The reason why I asked the question is, I read 2.4 as an arm to upper position, upper stops, secure aircraft. But in step 2, I need to loosen load adjustment unit cover fastener, but it's actually other side of this aerate, so I just wondered this is right configuration or not.
I'll be checking. And Kimmy Houston, just so we can understand the current configuration, can you confirm, did you already complete steps 1.4 and 1.5?
One decimal four, yes. And one decimal five, I'm a little bit confused. So this is upper stop position, or the way up is upper stop position. So maybe if it's this one is upper stop position, yeah, I can secure that. But I don't know where to secure this main arm. I'm just at 34. If, yeah, this upper stop position, yeah, that makes sense. I can access to this like fasteners, so I can do that activity. But I was not sure where it's like a slide to secure slide track.
Okay, copy. Give us just a second. We're talking about it.
Thank you for your support.
Give me a Houston on two. So what we're looking for is that the slide track is secured to basically the black bar that it's on and parallel with. It's what's in the view closest to us on the camera, slightly on your left side. And then once that's secure, really all we need is for the main arm to be above the upper stop position.
Well, I just put Velcro on the side. I don't know, this is a slide.
So the slide track is slightly near your left arm right now. It's this big blue bar that goes up and down, and it's closest to the camera view. Basically where your left elbow and left shoulder are right now. Closer to your head. Yes, that. That just needs to be secured
okay,
to the...
Understand.
Okay, copy. Let us know if you have any other questions. Thanks.
Understand. That's already, yeah, secured. So thank you very much. Understand. Thank you. Still station on two, question about Kermit.
With you on two for Kermit.
Yeah, this is Chris. I'm running a little bit early and wondering if you're all right if I get started with that activity.
And we're checking. Chris, Huntsville's back with you. You are go for microscope power-up.
Copy, go for microscope power-up.
Huntsville, station on two for the microscope power-up.
With you on two.
You're ready for ground commanding in step 11.
We copy. That'll take about a minute or so. I'll call you back when we are ready for step 12.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Station Huntsville, space to ground two for Chris and Kermit. You are going step 12.
Copy, going step 12. Thank you.
And Huntsville station on two, we are complete with the microscope power up. There is a good clearance between the image module and the light. So we're all set. Thank you.
We copy. Great news.
Houston station on two for Mike or Zena. I wanted to get you some stowage words before we hit about a 15-minute LOS here in about 10 minutes.
Break down two.
So I've got two fun stowage items for you guys. Both of them are in node one. And if you have any extra time after the stall reinstall is complete, we'd appreciate if you could help us out. I have the details if you're ready to copy.
The stall is installed. No need to keep stalling.
Excellent. Earlier there was an activity in node one, overhead four, Charlie one. And it was reported that there was four half CTBs in there, which was one more than we were expecting. So we were hoping someone could just call down the serial numbers of those four half CTBs so we could figure out which one is extra.
Okay, node one, overhead four, Charlie one will give you the serial numbers of the four half CTBs.
Good copy. And then the other one, since Kimmy is working real hard on the ARED maintenance, we were hoping you could help us out. So Sergey needs an item that we believe is stowed in node 1 for an activity at 1750. It is called a TA-124, and we found a picture of it. If you guys can reference radiogram 6627. It's a pretty unique-looking piece of equipment, so hopefully that picture can help if it's there. The last time anyone interacted with it was about 60 days ago. It's in stow track for Cygnus Cargo. It's item 164.15, but the only indication there is that it was transferred to the Russian segment, but we're not sure if that's the case, so it might be in node 1. How copy?
Copy. We are... going to help Sergey out with his 1750 activity. We'll reference radiogram 6627 and also possibly Cygnus Cargo Ops 164.15 for TA-124.
Yeah, that's a good copy. I doubt the stow track has too much good information for you, other than like serial numbers and things like that. But when you see the picture, I think it'll be real obvious if you lay eyes on this piece of hardware. We don't really have any details on where it might be in Node 1, so apologies for that.
Copy, no problem. We'll take a look, and I think the Cygnus stow track might at least help us remember who touched it last, and we'll go from there. But we will reference the radiogram for sure.
Copy. Thanks, Zena. Station Houston on 2, just a heads up, we do have about a 20-minute LOS coming up in 3 minutes. We don't have anything we need to pass up to you, but just want to give an opportunity if you have any questions for us.
And Houston Station on 2, I just took a look in Node 1 overhead 4 underscore Charlie 1, and I put the 4 half CTVs down in a crew note on my midday meal, but I can also read them down to you if that will help get them to you before the LOS.
Copy. Yeah, no rush. We can wait to see him in your crew note. Thank you.
Copy that.
Station on Soul Space to Ground 2 for Chris and Kermit at your convenience.
Go ahead on 2 for Chris.
Chris, we are not able to connect right now to the NanoRacks Thailand liquid crystals. So what we'd like you to do is on ELT6, that's at Lab Overhead 4, unplug and replug both the external hard drive and the Kermit microscope USB.
Copy that. ELC6, external hard drive, and Kermit microscope USB. I'll just unplug and reseat them both.
Thank you very much.
Control Station 2 for Mikado.
With you 2 for Mikado.
Looking for a go in Step 2.
Zena, I can confirm the power off, but I would like you to confirm for us that USB fans are currently running on Mikado.
Checking. Confirm, fans are still running, and also Chris would like you to know that he has reseated the USB from Kermit.
We copy both. And with that, you are go in Step 2.
Thank you.
Mike Houston on 2 for an update about the description of the TA-124.
Joe, glad you called. I was just thinking about it and thinking about you and what it and the TA-124. I spent time with Sergey K, and we were trying to track it down, but we know what it looks like. We saw the old one. We just don't know where the new one is yet, and it's not Node 1. Go ahead.
Yeah, so about that, while we were on the LOS, we found a picture of the new unit, and it turns out the new unit looks a little different than the old one that was pictured in that radiogram. The main difference is that the overall box is black in color as opposed to that grayish. It looks to be, we estimate, about maybe 8 by 8 by 6 inches or so. Black box with some connectors on one face of it.
Okay, the old one is much bigger than that. The old one is approximately 14 inches by 8 inches by 8 inches, if not bigger. So this one's a lot smaller, and you said it's also a black box.
Affirmative, definitely a black box. There is not a ruler or anything in the picture we have of it to exactly estimate its size, but based on the labels and things like that, that's the best approximation we have.
Okay, that's super helpful. We think it got delivered to the Russian segment and got lost in translation from there. It would be super and duper helpful if you could send up that picture and or something so that we can all share it and we'll find it so that Sergey M has the tools and the job that he needs to do. Fortunately, today's activity is just more preparation and tomorrow's the actual date, so we have a little bit of time. That picture would help.
Copy that. Yeah, that's helpful. And we are working on getting that picture to you. Just a heads up for you, I am personally having some issues with my Capcom email account. I'm working on that, and we're working on backup options to get that picture on board for you quickly.
Okay, copy. Thank you very much. Just let us know when it's on board and how it got there, and we'll find it and share it with our Russian crewmates.
Okay, thanks, Mike. In the meantime, we will find a way to get you that picture.
Station Hall, Space Ground 2 for ARED.
Give me a Houston on 2 for ARED.
Yes, if you still have like a camera view from Node 3, I just want to show you that right side flywheel, it's a little bit more dirty actually than left. So I just want to specialists to see this and this is normal or not.
So basically I see is like a lot of greases and black, and that was a little bit dirtier than left, so.
Okay, Kimya. Yeah, those are great views and copy. The flywheel on the right seems to be dirtier, some grease and blackness. Could you repeat your first, though, before that?
Actually, that's all my messages, and I didn't see any like damage or any missing the copper ring, and etc. So everything per procedure, it's okay, but I just wondered this dirtiness is okay or not.
Kimmy, one request for you, if you don't mind. While we have this camera view of these gears, are you able to rotate them for us while we can watch on video? I believe you were rotating them earlier in the procedure as well.
That's right. And torque was okay. So I can rotate that. So please stand by.
Okay, Kimmy. That was great. Thank you for that video. We'll make sure to pass that on to the specialists. And everything looks to be in a good config. So thank you. And you are go to continue with your day.
Thank you very much for checking. So I'm going to continue this procedure. Thank you.
Principal Station 2 for Mikado.
Station 2 for Mikado.
The J1 connector was not going on easily, and I didn't want to force it. Taking a look at it, it looks like one of the pins is very slightly bent. Wondering if I could use one of the ISS pin kits to try to unbend it.
We copy one of the J1 pins is bent. Let us talk about it. We'll get right back to you.
Dina Houston on 2, that's a good view. Thank you for that. Dina Houston on 2, so for that bent pin, talked about it, and we are go for you to use the pin kit. If you need a location for that, it's node 2 starboard 4. Expect it to be in a half CTB. I can give you the number whenever you're ready.
Copy node 2 starboard 4 and ready to copy.
Are we expected in half CTB? Serial number 5075. It's not there. There's a small chance it could just be loose out on the MWA, so you might want to put eyes on there beforehand. And, of course, we would love before and after pictures to see your excellent work.
You got it. I'll check for half CTB 5075.
Mike Houston on 2 for pictures of TA-124.
Then go ahead.
Okay, we got two pictures on board for you, Jedi messages 36 and 37. One of them is a picture of the unit itself, and then one of it is a picture of it in its bubble wrap packaging. We are not sure what configuration it is currently in.
Well, neither are we, but with your pictures, we'll be able to help find it and help the timeline keep moving. Hey, thank you really very much for thinking ahead on this and helping us out. It's well appreciated. And we'll report back when we learn something new. But in the meantime, I'll share these with Sergey. And Sergey.
Copy. Thanks, Mike. And in the meantime, I will continue getting your email working and up on board for you.
Roger.
Your ghost stitching is complete in 1.1, and thank you for the help. You read our minds.
Absolutely. Yep.
Not sure how far you will get. Of course, we will take a break so that you can do your PMC when it is scheduled. But I wanted to give you words in, if you get to step 4.9, I have a delta for you if you're ready to copy.
Ready to copy in 4.9.
Okay, so 4.9 is an if statement that if you have to demate a power connector. Last time we did this, that was required, so we expect it again today. And when you complete step 4.9.2, we missed a step to repower the UOP. So we would need that prior to step 4.9.3.
Copy that. 4.9.2, we'll need to repower the UOP before continuing at 4.9.3.
Good copy. Thanks, Chris.
Association call Space Ground 2 for ARED.
Give me a go on 2 for ARED.
Yes, I'm on step 9er. And no turns for all four fasteners.
You copy. Good words. You're go to continue.
Thank you. Go for continue.
Sensation 2 for pin kit.
Pin kit on 2. Go ahead, Zena.
Just anywhere else on station we have anything smaller than a 22 gauge?
Arizona, we will take a look for a gauge smaller than 22, and as another option, if it's easier, needle nose pliers can be used for this as well.
Copy. I don't think needle nose pliers would actually help. They'll be too big to fit in that location. The pins that fit into this J1 are smaller than 22 gauge, but I was able to use a 20 gauge socket that fits over the outer diameter of the sockets on the cable side of the J1 connector. So I can wiggle connector pins, or sockets rather, back into alignment, but one of them looks a little bit rushed, so I was hoping to insert a pin into the inner diameter of the socket to get it back into shape. I don't want to make it worse by trying to make that connection with it a little bit out of shape.
Okay, copy. I'll give us a minute to think about it, and we'll keep looking for a smaller than 22 gauge option for you.
Much appreciated.
Full station on 3-4 timeline.
I'm still 59-2, but we're about to hit a handover.
Yes, just real quick, I meant to say too, what channel would you like us to do the IMTP activity on? And I promise we'll move the camera as little. Kimmy is still using it at the time, but we'll move it to the right spot.
It will be space to ground 4 privatized, but we have not configured it yet, so we will call you back when it is configured.
No worries. I just know ahead of time that it will be 4. Thank you, and yeah, we'll look forward to that call, and thank you. We're pretty much right on time.
You copy.
So station call space ground 2 for Eric.
Kimmy, you're going 2.
Yes, I'm on step 13, and this task complete, and I'm going to store tools for storage node. And thank you very much for Chris and Mike actually picking up my task, so I'm going to go back to my timeline. Thank you.
Copy all. Thank you, Kimmy. Good work today.
Your support.
Station on Soul Space to Ground 2 for Mike and 0T2.
Soul Station on 2, go ahead.
And Mike, we have space to ground for privatized. Bruce is available when you are ready.
Fantastic. Thank you. We'll make contact and we'll get the camera view and then we'll get started. Thank you.
Cena, Houston on 2. Just wanted to get back with you. Unfortunately, we do not have a gauge smaller than 22 available for your pin kit troubleshooting. We noticed when we came back with video, it looked like you were still kind of working on it a bit. So just wanted to check in and see how things are going.
Yeah, still unable to get J1 mated. I think I got some improvement just using the 20-gauge socket on the outer diameter of the vent pin, but I think we need to open up the inner diameter of the socket on the J1 cable.
Okay, copy that, Zena. Right now on the ground, pod's talking with the PD. We're just trying to get smart on the pins and what all of them do so that can inform our troubleshooting a little bit. So it probably will be a little bit if you had a good breaking point and you wanted to continue with other items on your timeline.
Okay, copy. No worries. I've got pretty much just exercise left, so I will hold off on that until after Mike is complete with his IMTP apps. But happy to help whenever you guys have more info.
Yeah, copy, mostly exercise. I guess another way to say it is we may need a little time to get more words for you, so just didn't want you waiting on us.
Yeah, no problem at all. Yeah, I was just seeing if I could get some improvement. I'm happy to keep fiddling away on it, but maybe better if I just leave it alone. And I'll stand by until you guys have some better ideas.
Copy. Thanks, Zena.
Thank you, guys, and I'm so sorry. I have a feeling this happened when I disconnected the 200-degree oven because that connection was very easy when I made it for the 200-degree oven.
Copy.
Houston Station on Space to Ground 2 for Data Output Block, Go Alpha 124, Mike.
Mike, go on 2 for that.
Hey, with all the clues that you provided us, Sergey reported that they were able to find the radiogram that had the original stowage when it came over from the Node 1. and they're up to speed. He found it, and all is good now. So really, thanks for your diligence, and thanks for making it happen.
Copy, Mike. That is great news. Appreciate the scavenger hunt. Hope you guys had as much fun as we did on it.
We did, yeah. You'll this is a really nice crew that I got stuck with. I mean, they're really, everybody's helping each other, and that means you guys are helping us too. So what a great crew we all are. So really appreciate it. Thanks again.
Love to hear it. Thanks, Mike.
Station in Huntsville, Space Ground 2 for Xena and Mikado.
Space Ground 2.
Xena, unfortunately, don't have a lot of troubleshooting here. What we'd like you to do is try one more time with us watching on video to have you mate that connector and see if we can get a good seat. This is the pin for the thermocoupler, so we do need it to be engaged. We'd like to watch the mate and see if we can try it one more time.
Yeah, you bet. I'll get the camera in a good config so you guys can see best as able, and we'll give it another shot.
And Xena, we are watching.
Hey, Huntsville, I'm not sure how much of that you could see, but I get about an eighth of an inch overlapping on the connector there, which I think is basically the point where the sockets on the cable side start to mate with the face of the J1 connector on the oven side, and I'm just getting met with resistance, and I really hesitate to force it. I can try a little bit of wiggling and see if we can get it to fit into place. What do you think?
And Xena, let us talk about it. We're getting right back to you.
No problem.
And Xena, you are go for gentle wiggling.
Gentle wiggling. We'll try. Holy moly, I did not think that was going to work, but we're in place.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Very sickness, one and all.
Okay, we'll take the holiday cheer.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, are you guys good if I pick back up in the procedure and try to get this running?
Okay, firm.
Huntsville Station, step 20, all set 400 on the oven.
You copy step 20, 400.
Okay, Huntsville Station, 400 is set. Current temperature, 150 and increasing. We do have the red dot. I think we're in good shape.
And Xena, we copy and we concur. And one quick follow-up from this morning, we are looking for the serial number of the flashcard for the photos you took this morning.
Oh, yes, so sorry. I will check on that real quick.
Thank you much, and thank you for your wonderful troubleshooting today.
My pleasure. I was probably the one who caused the problem to begin with, so glad we could fix it. And that card serial number is 1063.
1063.
Kimya, Houston on 2 for UTS status at your convenience.
It's on 2.
Hey, Kimya, we just wanted to check and see how things were going, and also wanted to double-check that Chris was able to hand over the deltas in step 4.9 that we passed up to you.
Yes, he handed over to me that delta as well. But no, actually, one of the tracks, C-track, it's very, very hard to get in by one person. I'm struggling for maybe 10 minutes, so no joy. So I'm going to probably move on and put this C-track, installing C-track is later for maybe with other crew member help, since one person is so too hard, and report back to you when I complete it.
Okay, yeah, copy that. So you're going to move on, and we can troubleshoot the seat track later.
Thank you very much. So I'm going to skip four decimal two. It's so hard, so I'm going to move on. Thank you.
Copy four decimal two. Thank you. We'll take note of that for future operations if we do this again.
Thank you for the note. So station on Space Ground 2 for installing Toka.
Kimmy, you're going to?
We are actually installing Toka, but I think we are missing the step to install Toka grounding like a string. So do you have any like a talk or like a tools for this information?
Kimmy, if you're referring to the Toka grounding strap, that will be installed in step 5. So for now, I guess we just want to make sure that it is secure before we start to install.
Okay, so we can just turn on before grounding. Is that true?
Jimmy, can you repeat the question?
We are on step 4.9 and try to connect cables, and also for Delta, we're going to power on EOP. So without grounding, we can do this. Is that true?
I understand the question. It's a good one. Give us a second. We're talking about it.
Thank you.
Give me a Houston on 2. That's a great catch. We're actually not sure if it matters. So for safety, what we'll do is just have you complete step 5 to install the grounding strap before powering on the UOP. So that's a great catch. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. So we're going to install ground strap, then go back to step 4 for the decimal learner. Thank you. Thank you for checking.
Yeah, it's a good copy. So complete step 5 and then go back and complete step 4.9 with the deltas. And then let us know when that is complete, and we will do our ground commanding. Zena, Houston on 2 for upcoming WHC activity.
Ready on 2, and I won't start it until UTS isn't.
Yep, I figured you were all over it, and that is what we were calling to let you know. What if you'd like, we can give you a call when we are ready for that activity.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Station on space ground. For UTS install.
Kimia, go on 2.
I'm on step 5.5. All cables connected. Go for KU band power supply RPC codes.
Okay, copy that. We will go ahead and put the ground commanding in place. You are go to continue in the procedure, and we will hear from you again in step 7.1.
I understand. Go for continue.
Houston and Huntsville, station on 2 for Mikados.
Houston here.
Hey, it's smelling a little bit metallic almost when I came through the lab just now. I put my hand up near the outflowing USB fan. Nothing feels warm or anything like that. I don't want to use the B word to describe this odor. Any expectations of possibly a smell coming from Mikados?
Copy and understand. We're checking. We'll get back to you quickly. Zena, Houston on 2 for the odor. We're talking to the PD, seeing if we want to go ahead and turn the oven off. In the meantime, we would love to get some CSACP readings right in front of the outlet fan of that oven. Copy, Chris.
Zena's grabbing one right now.
He's right on mine. Houston Station 2 for CSACP readings.
On 2. We were trying to see it, but it's hard to see the numbers on the video with the reflection. Go ahead.
Yeah, I figured. Sorry about that. Readings are 0 and 0.
Copy the numbers, and I see Chris and Mike are there with you. Do they also report a similar odor? Copy.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Copy. Pod should be calling you momentarily with instructions on how to turn off the oven.
Copy.
And Zena Huntsville's with you. We're going to have you execute your procedure that's on your timeline at 1740 for the Mikados controller off.
It works.
And Huntsville, just weighing in a little bit, it was more like a plasticky kind of odor than anything else. So just saying that that's just so that you can help with any diagnosing or troubleshooting. But it was noticeable for sure.
Copy, plasticky smell. We'll take that note as well.
So station on space ground 2 for UTS install.
Jimmy, Houston on 2.
Yeah, I'm on step 6.7 and T2 snubber alignment guide removed.
Okay, copy. Step 6.7 is complete and we are ready for step 7.1, so you can continue.
Can continue. Go for step 7.1. Thank you.
Until station 2, Mikados power off time, 1635.
We copy 1635.
Not that you need more data points on what this smells like, but the closest thing I can describe it to is what it smells like when I get hair sucked into the intake of my hairdryer.
That's a very vivid description that we can all relate to.
At least half of us can relate to. Yeah, I did check. I know sometimes the USB fans, which we use in our crew quarters, have hair on them, so it is also possible that some got sucked in to the rack itself, but I don't think that's what's going on here, and I don't feel any abnormal temperatures coming out of the locker.
All good data points for us. Thank you.
Houston Station Hall, Space Ground 2 for UTS.
With you on 2, go ahead.
Scale bomb power supply, powered on nominally. Green light is on and fan is running. I'm on step 7.4, that's complete. Thank you very much for your support. And Mike-san and also Chris-san helped me a lot.
Okay, copy. All those are good words, Kimya. And copy, task complete. We did want to send a reminder about grabbing an extra crew member to go back and finish step 4.2 for the attachment bracket.
So, Sue, actually, we are able to install, but Chris and I worked together and were able to install. So thank you very much. No step remaining.
Decent copies. Sounds great. Thanks, Kimya.
Thank you for your support.
Huntsville, Station on 2 for the Microscope Ops.
Which Station 2 for Microscope Ops?
Charlie, just wanted to ask if it's all good for me to get started with that.
And Chris, we are go for you to do the microscope repositioning prep. We're going to hold to do the microscopy once we get KU back. And when we come back KU, we will have Dylan available for you on Space Ground 3.
Sounds perfect. I'll get the prep all set. And, yeah, sounds like a plan.
Station 2 for WHC.
Zena, Houston on 2. We're still not quite ready for that WHC activity. We need to get KU back to finish the commanding. In the meantime, we did have another miss on Kimia's activity. We forgot to put a step for him to turn the PCS in Node 3 back on. If you wouldn't mind taking care of that for us.
Copy, and definitely no problem. Station 2, PCS is back on with a good connection.
Copy, and we see it. Thank you.
And Houston Station for timeline and for a question that doesn't need to be answered now, but maybe at DPC or around DPC.
Ready for your question.
And today was a busy day, and we got the rack transfer accomplished, and all the pieces are being put back together, and it's pretty awesome. So compliments to the entire Orbit 1 and Orbit 2 crews. Would want to just ask, tomorrow we're going to do similarly with the FIR rack, and both of these racks have, you know, contributed a lot to human science, so it's kind of, these are kind of sad things, but they're also good things. The question we have is the FIR rack right now has maybe about 3 or 4 CTBs inside, and I put through the procedures, but I might have missed it. It's a part of our timeline for tomorrow to remove those CTBs. We'd hate to put them in HDV and send them to the Viking funeral without with those CTBs in there. They just got here.
Mike, thanks for asking the question. That is an update we're tracking. It's not on board yet, but it should be there by the time you work the plan tomorrow or by tomorrow morning.
Fantastic. We appreciate double checks across the board, so thanks for the double check on that, and thank you for considering it and having us take out those CTBs. Too soon, they say. Too soon. Thank you.
Copy. Thanks, Mike.
Huntsville, Station on 2, Microscope.
Go for Microscope.
Hey, I am on step 4, and I had a quick question. I'm looking at Sable 2, and there is something plugged into the J7 Sable port, but I don't see any label on it that it goes into the Sable device, and so I just wanted to double-check that that is what I should be disconnecting.
That's a firm.
That's good, thanks. Huntsville Station on 2, one more Sable question.
Go for Sable.
It looks like Sable 2 is already powered on. In step 6, do you want me to power cycle it, or how would you like me to proceed?
And Chris, we're just trying to verify you did step 2 to power it off before you did the position and the power step.
No, that is my fault. I missed that step. That's my bad.
Okay, we copy standby. Will we check on it?
I will shut it down. Yeah, human factors thing, it was underneath the expando box on the iPad version of IPV.
And Chris, is the microscope already plugged in now, or are you, what's your current state? We don't have video right now.
Sorry, the microscope is plugged in. Would you like me to unplug it?
Negative. Let's just have you stand down until we can figure out how to get this in a good, safe config for today.
Okay, sorry about that.
Okay, Chris, so just
station
to confirm,
you have... for EVA battery charge.
And Kimia, we're with you on two, ready to copy.
And Huntsville station.
I'm going to go from the... I'm on step 21 and report for the schedule status. Ready to copy?
Ready to copy.
Charger 1. 1. LB-2. In decimal 42 volt charge. In 2. There you go. 18 decimal 01 volt charge. Line 3. Leva, in this one 37, charge, and 4, PGT, GT, 20.03 volt charge. Charge number 2, line 1, LLP-2, in this one 53 volt charge. Line 2, Lara Eva. 18 decimal 36 volt charge. Line 3, Leva, 18 decimal 37 volt charge. Line 4, PGT, 18 decimal 42 volt charge. Charger 3, line 1, LLV-2, 18 decimal 48 volt charge. Line 2, LLV-2, 18 decimal 48 port charge. Line 3, PGT 18 decimal charge. Line 4, PGT 18 decimal 40 charge. Line 5, PGT 18 decimal 39 port charge.
Hey, Kimia, thank you for those numbers. They all sound good, and you are go to proceed.
Hey, go to proceed. Thank you very much.
And Huntsville Station RQ for Salem.
Okay, Chris, we are back
with
you.
Sorry for all the confusion. So where we're at is...
Go ahead.
Sable is powered on... Yep, sorry, I keep stepping on you. So Sable is... So I'm at step 6, 6.2, basically. So the microscope is plugged in, but powered off. Sable 2 has been restarted, and on the screen I see an initialization success box. All hardware and software components are successfully initialized. Sable is ready for operation.
Okay, we copy. That sounds like we have completed the repositioning prep ops, and we just got KU back, so I can hand you over to Dylan on Space to Ground 3.
Copy that. I'll keep pressing on and finish up step 6. That'll just be a moment, and then I'll be ready for your check.
Chris Houston on 2 while I have you. We're hoping to just get one more data point on a sniff check in the lab. Really, we're just wanting to confirm that that smell is not getting worse.
Stand by 1 second and I'll give you another sniff check.
Houston, for sniff.
Houston on 2, Zena, go ahead.
Definitely not getting worse. And what we're experiencing is it seems most concentrated right now, actually kind of in the middle of day 5. To float around with the CSACP some more, but definitely not getting worse.
Okay, copy that. Seems to smell the strongest around Bay 5, and you'll get some more CSACP readings and let us know if you see anything concerning.
Okay.
At Huntsville Station on 2, I've completed 2.010, and the microscope is set up.
We copy, and we're ready for microscopy.
Copy. Proceeding into the microscopy procedure. And Huntsville Station on 2, microscopy question. Sorry. In the procedure, it says Sable serial number 4, but just wanted to double check that we're using 2 today.
And we're retrieving the biocells from Sable 4. And Dylan will help you on Space to Ground 3 with any additional questions.
All right. Sorry about that. Yep. Switching over to 3.
Houston Station 2, CSACP 0 across the board still.
Copy that. And Zena, Houston on 2, we got a couple of questions for you just to help us try and troubleshoot. If you have a second, and you can bring up the Mikado 7 swap procedure you were looking at earlier.
Absolutely.
Zena, Houston on 2 for the Mikato 7 swap procedure question.
Safety on 2.
Yeah, obviously we're still talking about the smell and things like that down here, and we're thinking maybe some Kapton tape in there could be the culprit based on the description of a plasticky smell. So looking in that procedure in Figure 2, we were wanting to get your take on if that was an accurate representation of the config that it was left in. We had real good video of you doing the pin troubleshooting, but no one on the ground seems to have caught any video of this actual config being put in place. So if there was maybe any places where the Kapton tape could be touching a hot surface, which would basically be the oven itself, this picture has a Kevlar hot pad on there, which should keep tape from getting so hot that it causes a smell. But just wanted to get your take on that figure and if maybe there's anything there.
Do you have any more details on which surfaces of the oven itself might get hotter than other surfaces? I'd say Figure 2 is a pretty good representation of what we've got going on. There's the hot pad on the bottom, but the hot pad itself is taped into place, and then there is a loop of Kapton tape holding the bottom of the oven onto the hot pad per procedure. And then we've got the two long strips of Kapton going over the top of the oven, but the Kapton is probably touching the sides of the oven more than it is in Figure 2.
Okay, Zena, thanks for that report. So what our understanding is that the surface, the outer surface of the oven itself could get pretty warm, but not it should not get hot enough to cause any sort of reaction with the Kapton tape. And then the hot pad itself should be even cooler than that.
Okay, copy. Yeah, the hot pad is definitely keeping the oven from touching the locker, but the Kapton is holding the hot pad in place, so the oven is in direct contact with the Kapton as opposed to in direct contact with the hot pad.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. We're continuing to talk about it. Obviously, this is the most obvious thing we're looking at just based on the timing. You know, anytime I get a new cookie sheet at home, it always smells in the oven the first two times I put it in there. So we're talking about it, see if we can come up with any other ideas, and appreciate the words.
For sure. Definitely akin to when I turn the heat on in my house for the first time each winter. I'll take a look inside. I'll hold a light up and see if I can get a little look-see inside through the grid of the fans. I'll let you know what I see.
Yeah, no problems with that. Obviously, my job would be to tell you not to go any further in there because we do have some touch temperature stuff that we have not adhered to yet. So no more invasive investigation at this point, please.
You bet, absolutely. And again, did not feel any high temperatures coming out of the outgoing fan.
Zena Houston on 2.
Way down 2.
I just wanted to get back with you with the plan on the oven and the odor. We will be within our touch temperature constraints at 18:35, so that's in a little bit over an hour. I know on your timeline you've got some exercise and things like that. We were looking at Chris's timeline, and if it helps, we can defer his CMAX activity to another day. But we are going to want to open this up and look in there and just, you know, see if we can see any obvious charring or discoloration or anything like that. So I wanted to put that up there so you guys can think about it and let us know who might be able to help us with that in a little over an hour, or it can be later in the day as well. That's just, it can't be any earlier than that.
Copy. Yeah, I'm happy to do that. It's no problem to take a pause in the middle of an arid session. Don't mind that at all. 18:35, you said?
Good read. That is in 1 hour and 12 minutes.
It sounds great. I'll check in around 18:35. I did try to sneak a peek just through the grate of the fans, but was unable to see much other than there is still Kapton tape in there, so it hasn't all sublimated or anything like that. But I'll give you some better words later.
Yeah, copy, thanks. We've been looking into Kapton tape down here on the ground, and it does seem that it would start to smell and put off an odor before there would be any discoloration or charring. So we may not get a conclusive answer from this, but just given the timing of things and the temperatures that we expect a smell to happen at. If there was any in contact with the hotter parts, that could definitely be the most likely culprit. At least that's where we're leaning right now.
That makes a lot of sense, and sounds like a fun test to run on the ground. Do you have any words on what are the hottest, potentially hottest parts of the oven itself?
Yeah, so as far as parts of that cylinder, not really any detail into, you know, one area versus another, but obviously the inside of the oven is supposed to get up to 400°C, and in ground testing we saw when that occurred, the outside of that cylinder could get as high as about 180, maybe close to 200°C, which it's right on the edge of when we might expect an odor from Kapton tape.
Copy, that makes sense.
Station Huntsville, space to ground 2 for Xena and Iceberg help.
Radio 2.
Xena, we have indications that it looks like Iceberg 2 may have accidentally powered off, so we'd like you to check on it at lab overhead 2. We'd like you to check on the upper control panel that the locker 1 switch is on. If it's off, turn it on, and also check that the power switch on Iceberg is on.
Hey, it works. Full station 2 for Iceberg.
Go for Iceberg.
Iceberg 2 at lab overhead 2 is off. The power switch is off. The locker 1 power switch is on. Locker 2 power switch is off.
And Xena, let us check on that. And Xena, we want to keep locker 1 on, locker 2 to off, and then you can turn Iceberg 2 on.
Okay, turning the power switch for Iceberg 2 on.
And we appreciate that.
No problem. Power LED is green. Display is coming on. Not entirely sure how this would have happened, but happy to help.
It's okay. It's one of those days. We appreciate the assist. That's what we needed.
It is a Monday, after all. Station 2 for WHC.
Hey, Xena, with you on 2. We are still working on the UTS stuff, so we're not ready for the activity from earlier today, if that's what you were inquiring about.
Okay, copy. Sorry to bug you. I thought I had gotten distracted and missed it, but I'm happy to wait.
Yep, no problem. I apologize for the delay, and I'll make sure to give you a call when we're ready for it. Thanks.
No worries at all.
Xena, Houston on 2 for UTS and WHC.
With you on 2.
Hey, Xena, sorry if you were working out, but wanted to get you some words on the UTS and WHC. I know you're still waiting on that for us. We have not been successful in getting UTS to come up as expected. We've pretty much exhausted most of our ground troubleshooting options, and we are hoping to get your set of eyes to check that the connectors are in a good config. And I can give you a step number, but it's essentially the power and data connectors for the UTS.
Hang on 5 seconds, and we'll be ready to copy. Okay, Houston, we are ready to copy.
Okay, so in the UTS install procedure that was on Kimmy's timeline a little while ago, specifically steps 4.5 and 4.6, we'll have you check the Ethernet cable and the power cable for UTS. One critical thing, though, is we do not have the safing in place, so please do not touch the connectors and try to, you know, physically make sure they're there. If something looks like it might not be fully connected, we can go ahead and put that safing back in place.
Okay, copy. We'll take a look at steps 4.5, 4.6 for Ethernet and power. We won't touch them yet because we don't have safing in place, but we'll let you know what we see.
Good copy. Thank you.
Houston Station 2. Looks like Ethernet is disconnected in step 4.5.
Okay, we copy. Give us a second. I'll get some words for you.
No problem.
And Xena, Houston on 2. We are go for you to connect the Ethernet cable in step 4.5 with no safing required. Just to confirm, in 4.6, the power cable appeared to be connected.
So power J1 is connected.
Okay, copy. Your go to perform step 4.5. Thank you.
In station 2, Ethernet is in place, and we added some Kapton tape, so it'll stay.
Copy, Xena. Thank you, and I will again let you know once we're ready for the WHC activity, assuming we get UTS configured as necessary.
No problem.
Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for Xena and WHC.
Good, you on 2.
Hey, Xena, we were able to get the right configuration now, so we are go for your WHC task. That was at 1625.
Okay, right on. I'll get that at work.
Chris Houston on 2 for timeline and deferring the CMAX removal. Correction, timeline for the CMAX activity.
Go ahead on 2 for Chris.
Hey Chris, we've been chatting down here about the timeline. We don't need the CMAX activity at all today. There's no issues with deferring that. And I know we've had a whole bunch of other hiccups throughout the day that have put us a little bit behind. So what we'd propose is if you want to help Kimya just do the teardown of the microscope since you were just working with it, and we'll defer the CMAX, and then hopefully we can kind of get everybody wrapped up before DPC so you don't have to do anything beyond that.
Yeah, I'm happy either way. Yeah, I'm happy to help Kimya with the teardown if you guys think that makes the most sense.
Yeah, that's what we'd recommend. And then here, probably in a little over 10 minutes or so, we'll be working with Zena to do an inspection of the oven from earlier today, too, there.
Okay, copy. Yep, sounds like a plan. I will help Kimya get the microscope teared down.
Thanks, Chris.
Station Huntsville, Space to Ground 2 for Zena and Mikados hardware teardown at your convenience.
From Station 2 for Mikados.
Zena, we are ready for you to do your Mikados hardware stove activity that's scheduled at 1945 any time now. We have met our touch temp constraints. We do have a couple things for you that we want you to keep mind of while you're doing this. One is we would like a report of the overall lab smell, if it's the same or if it's changed. And then once you open the single stowage locker, if you note what is the smell inside the locker. And then as you tear this down and you start sewing the hardware, look especially at the Kapton type tape or anywhere else for any signs of discoloration, charring, anything that looks abdominal, and lots of photos, please.
Okay, copy all. I'm going for my Mikados teardown. I can report that the smell in the lab is significantly improved. It's really actually hard to notice now, but I'll give another sniff once I get the locker open. I'll take lots of pictures, especially noting the condition of the Kapton.
That's all great. And then once you have the hardware and you're disassembled and you're ready to stow it, at the end I will have some stowage locations for you for GFCI cables.
Copy all. Spill station 2.
Hand over.
With you on 2, about 50 handover time, though.
Don't know the text.
And you know, this is 30 seconds to a 4.5-minute LOS.
Hey, copy. Just reporting no odors and looks completely normal inside. Before I tear this all down, anything else you want to try?
Negative. You are go to stow.
Cool. Until station 2.
With you on 2.
Taking lots of pictures and comparing and contrasting the 200 degree and 400 degree. I started giving the 400 degree oven a sniff check after I took it out, and then I handed it over to Chris without too many leading questions and had him do the same thing. We've both concluded that the warning hot do not touch label on the bottom of the oven smells like the lab was smelling before.
We copy. That's a great data point.
Just feel that it would be really comically ironic if it were the warning hot do not touch label.
The irony is not lost on us.
Still station 2 for warning hot do not touch label.
With you on 2.
And on the 400 degree but not on the 200 degree oven label, the silver label on top of the bronze and black stripes label is rippled, which I don't remember it being before, so it's kind of bubbling up, and it's rippled in perfect lines with the black diagonal lines. So maybe there's some, like, differential heating or something. Who knows? Anyway, I feel like the label is probably the culprit.
Zena, we copy. We would love to get a sneak peek of that label if you'd hold it in front of a camera for us. We have both lab cams up, so your choice which one.
Got it.
We see that. We see the discoloration, too, as well. And Zena, that's what we needed to see, so thank you for giving us that bonus video.
You got it. I could add a label that says, warning hot, do not label.
We'll note that for potential future iterations.
Vessel, can we go from fire to ice? I'm ready to do my iceberg desiccant swap, and there's a lot of stuff going on today. I just want to make sure we're still good for that.
Mike, you are go for the iceberg, and you are go for LSG stove.
You go for the stove.
Station Huntsville, Space to Ground 2 for Chris and Mike Hottos, GFCI stowage at your convenience.
Go ahead for Chris on 2.
Chris, we see that you are helping out with that Mikado stowage, and we really appreciate it. I do have a stowage delta for the GFCI cables when you are ready to copy.
To copy.
Okay, you should have two GFCI cables. Serial number 1015 is now the suspect one, so we'd like you to put it in a Ziploc, label it suspect, and that one goes to node 1, deck 4, delta 1, in 1.0 CTV 5582.
Copy that. So GFCI 1015 is suspect, and we'll put it in a Ziploc in node 1, deck 4, delta 1, 1.0 CTV 5582.
That's a good read. And then the other GFCI cable that you have, 1108, that one was suspect, but it's now no longer suspect. So it can go to node 1, deck 4, kilo 1, in the Ziploc bag GFCI cable.
Copy that. So GFCI 1108 is no longer suspect, and it goes in a Ziploc bag of GFCI cables in node 1, deck 4, kilo 1.
You got it.
All right, we'll get that set. Thank you.
Three station on Space Ground 2 for Mikados.
Let's get to Mikados.
I see a 400 degrees C, a store node, but I don't see any 200 degrees C in this list. So do you have on location for this item?
And Kimya, yes, that 200 degree C oven will be stowed with the 400 degree C oven.
Okay, so same location. Thank you.
Houston, this is the International Space Station on channel Space to Ground number 2, mission 74 here with a special post-DPC audio-only event.
I think we are with you on 2 from Houston. Go ahead.
Yes, one of the joys of being up in space is to talk about our friends back on planet Earth, the people that support us every day. And wait till I tell you about this guy, Russell Yannick. He's retiring. But not only that, after an extraordinary 45.5 years of dedicated service supporting NASA's human spaceflight programs, he's retiring and graduating even. And his last day will be tomorrow. So today, on our evening, we'd like to show him some respect and just true appreciation for what he has contributed to the International Space Station, and to all human spaceflight. So we have a long list because 45.5 years to try to narrow it down ends up still being a long list. So we're going to each talk a little bit about our friend Russell. Russell began his career in 1980. Contributing to the design, development, deployment, and sustainment of systems used in the Mission Control Center, MCC. His assignments steadily grew in complexity, progressing from individual contributor roles in design and development to subsystem-level engineering, project leadership, and over time, he became a recognized SME subject matter expert for mission-critical voice equipment supporting NASA programs.
Throughout his career, Russell played pivotal roles in numerous projects, including the MCC timing system, device, shuttle and ISS air-to-ground voice systems, DVIS, MCC 21, and most recently, MCC voice system replacements. His expertise spans technical design, project and systems engineering, customer interfacing, and direct mission support activities.
His professional journey included service with Ford Aerospace, Laurel, Lockheed Martin, Leidos, and SGT/KBR, but his entire career was rooted within the walls of the MCC complex. From the space shuttle era through the evolution of the ISS and beyond, he ensured the reliability of voice systems that were essential to mission success. A particularly remarkable milestone in his career was being physically present at MCC, providing engineering flight support for both the very first and the very last shuttle missions, STS-1 and STS-135.
Headed by Ford Aerospace, just 10 months before STS-1, Russell-san began as an understudy for the MCC timing system. While many supported shuttle missions over its 30-year history. We can say they were in the MCC for both the inaugural and final flights. It vividly recalled the excitement and stress of STS-1's launch, describing how the hair on his neck stuck up as Columbia roared into space.
Russell departs with deep gratitude for the opportunity to support NASA's human spaceflight programs and with admiration for the many talented colleagues he's worked beside. His professionalism, technical excellence, and passion for the mission have been an inspiration to all who have had the privilege to collaborate with him. So please join us thanking Russell for his decades of service and congratulating him on well-earned retirement. Wish him all the very best in his next chapter of life. Congratulations, Russell, from Expedition 74 and all who have flown. You're awesome. Congratulations. Enjoy.
Congratulations.
What a legacy. Holy moly.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Wow, that is very impressive. And thank you guys so much for your kind words and taking the time to share them with us today. And I hope you all have a great evening.
Houston, it was a pleasure working with you all, and we're looking forward to tomorrow. And Explorer 74. Houston Station, space to ground 2 for a quick stowage question from today.
If you don't do, Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I know you guys are getting ready, but earlier today, and I could use an assist, we made a 24-inch by 24-inch Ziploc bag that said IHI K-bars removed on today's GMT. And for the life of me, and I looked through 5, maybe even 6 notes, and I couldn't find where to put this bag. It has the IHI K-bars, but it also has some C-track holders that came from the BSR that we installed today. So it looks like this may be a bag of things or not. I don't know, but please help us out.
To be scheduled on Wednesday.